Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter number 18. Pardon me for taking a little bit of time, but I wanted to make sure we're all on the same page because this is your church too, amen? And you need to be aware of all what's going on. So this month, we'll continue as normal. Service times are 10 a.m. and then our 6:30 p.m. In November, remember, we will be sharing this building in November. We're sharing the building. So in November, the building will no longer be ours because remember, we're closing on October 25th. And then in November, we'll still have the last Sunday in October. And then in November, we will have a 2 p.m. service. So church should be at 2 o'clock. All right, 2 o'clock. Service will be at 2. Charting your course will be at 1 p.m. And then December, we'll go back to our normal service times when we go into our new building. So that will be the schedule of that. And I will continue to talk about that over and over again as we continue to promote what is happening and what is going on. Genesis chapter number 18, we're going to start reading at verse number 1. I'm going to read quickly because there is a lot of verses that I want to read, but I want us to get the gist of this story. The Bible says, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Merim, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts after that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do. And as thou hast said, and Abraham hastened unto the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. Verse 13, and the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall, everyone say shall, Sarah shall have a son. I want to speak today on this simple subject, and that is unprecedented. Unprecedented. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the sweet spirit that we feel in this house. God, I give you glory, honor, and praise. I thank you for all that you have done. Now, Lord, this is your church. These are your people. We are your sheep, and I am your vessel. So help me, Lord, to speak every word that is intended. I pray that my flesh will not get in the way. Lord, I pray that we will leave here greater, stronger, wiser than what we walked in here. We will forever give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name that we pray. If you're ready to receive the word of the Lord, come on, clap your hands unto the Lord one more time. You may be seated. We know, and many are familiar with Abraham and how God gave Abraham a promise. But before he was Abraham, the God-given name, his name, according to his father, which was Terah, his father, Terah, named him Abram. Now, if you look up the word Abram, it means exalted father. And so now here is Abram that has a name change to Abraham. And Abraham just simply means exalted father of many. So when God came to Abram, he gave Abram a promise. And he told him, going back to Genesis chapter number 12, he says, if you will leave, I will bless you. And I will make a great nation from you. And he said that I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. And he says, and all families of the earth will be blessed through you. And the scripture lets us know that Abram departed. Now, what's interesting is that now God revisits Abram and then gives him a name change. And the scripture lets us know that the name change goes from Abram to Abraham. And so now God has given Abram a promise. And the promise that God gave him, saying that when you look up in the stars and when you look to the sand that's on the seashore, and so shall thy seed be. But now in this particular moment, Abraham does not have any children. So here is Abraham, whose name was exalted father. Now he's the exalted father of many. Remember, he's given a name from his father that means exalted father, but he has no children. Now he's given a name from God, exalted father of many, but he has a child that should not have been born. And so here is Abraham. Every time he introduces himself to someone, he has to speak something that is not. Because now when he introduces himself to people, he has to introduce himself not as Abram, exalted father, but as Abraham, exalted father of many. And so God gave Abraham a promise, and the promise was in his name. So every time Abram had to look in the mirror and introduce himself to himself as Abraham, he had to remind himself that I've got a promise from the Heavenly Father, that I may not have many children right now. I may not have Isaac right now. I may not have the promise that God has given unto me, but I've got a word from God, and that word is in my name. So every time everyone said the name Abraham, every time he said or mentioned his own name Abraham, he was reminding himself and his family, I've got a promise from the Lord. And that is important for us to understand, because when you and I have a promise from God, remember that promise is for you. It's not for anybody else. So it doesn't matter what anybody else called Abraham. He was to remind himself, I am Abraham, and I've got a promise from the Lord. And I don't know what the Lord has told you over the last few weeks. I don't know what he has given you over the last few days, but if he has given you a promise, a sure word from the Lord, you ought to remind yourself, I shall come out of this. I will be delivered. I will be set. Oh, I hope I'm talking to somebody right there. I will be set free. God will heal my body. I don't care what anybody else says. If God gave you a promise, you just need to look at yourself in the mirror and remind yourself, I'm called of the Lord. If you got a word from the Lord and you need some help right now, you ought to encourage yourself. Clap your hands and repeat the promise that the Lord has given unto you. Hallelujah. But see, God not only gave Abraham a promise, God also gave you and I a promise. For the Bible says in the book of Philippians, chapter number 2, verse number 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, listen to this now, every knee should bow. Of things in heaven, it's got to bow. Things in the earth, they got to bow. Things under the earth, it's got to bow. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So God now has given you and I a promise like he did Abraham. He says that I've given my son a name that's above every name. The Bible says, who is the image of the invisible God. I've given him a name that's above every name. And at that name, I don't care where it is or where it was located, it must bow to the name. So now we have a promise just like Abraham had a promise. And the promise was in the name of Abraham. And now our promise is in the name of Jesus. So now we don't call upon Abraham, we just call upon Jesus. Because in the Old Testament, they said the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But now I just say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And it doesn't matter what it is. It can be in heaven, in earth, or under the earth. When I call on the name of Jesus, it's got to bow at the name. So I don't care what you're dealing with in your life. You just call on the name. Somebody say, Jesus. Clap your hands to the Lord and magnify that name. Thank you, Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's why when we need deliverance, we call on the name. When we need breakthrough, we call on the name. When we need healing, we call on the name. When we need salvation, we call on the name. When we get baptized, we call on the name. We cannot be a church that forgets the name. And don't be a people that don't be afraid to call on the name. Abraham and Sarah had never seen or even heard of anyone having a child at their age. It seemed impossible. That's why the Lord said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? So I want to speak today about unprecedented, because there are moments throughout scripture, and I want to start in the New Testament before going to the Old Testament. In the New Testament, in Matthew chapter number 14, we're going to start reading at verse number 34. You will find where people are coming to Jesus and they are touching the hem of his garment. The Bible says, and when they were gone over, meaning Jesus and his disciples, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. Listen now, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Now, this moment here in Matthew 14 was not unprecedented. This was something that had already taken place before. Because if you go back in your Bible about five chapters to Matthew chapter number 19, this was months earlier. Some philosophers even say a year earlier. There was a woman that did something unprecedented. But see, the precedent was already set. So then therefore, when these people heard about a woman that had touched the hem of his garment and was made whole, these people said, hey, here's the man. You don't need to talk to him. He doesn't need to touch you. You just need to touch him. The Bible lets us know that this woman had an issue of blood, the Bible says, for 12 years. And when you know the story, this woman, Jesus was met by a man by the name of Jairus who said, hey, I've got a 12-year-old daughter that is sick. And as he is on his way to help and meet the need of a 12-year-old named Jairus, as he's on his way to meet this man, this woman says, I know you got a 12-year-old issue that you're getting ready to handle, but I've got a 12-year-old issue myself that I need you to handle as well. And the scripture lets us know, it says here in Matthew 9, verse number 20, thank you, team, and behold, a woman which was diseased, which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. Verse number 21 says, for she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. So there was the precedent set. But now if we go back to the Old Testament, it was actually prophesied that this would happen or take place with people that touched the hem of his garment. In Malachi chapter number 4, starting at verse number 1, the Bible says, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Verse number 2 says, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And when you look up that word wings there, it means border or garment or corner of a garment. So it was prophesied in Malachi here that one day someone's going to come that all you have to do is touch the corner of his garment and there's going to be healing that flows. Now, I don't know if this woman with the issue of blood knew her Old Testament, but something got in her, said, I don't need him to touch me. I just need to touch him. I don't care how low I've got to go. I don't care if it's never been done, but it's already been written. Somebody missed that right there. I said, I don't care if it's already been done, but it's already been written. And God cannot go back on his word. So if God says there's going to be healing in his wings, the woman said, if I can just get to Jesus and touch the hem of his garment, I know I would be made whole. So now, since that has happened, now years later, here comes Jesus in this country, and the men say, hey, here comes that man. And all these people begin to say, if we can just touch the hem of his garment, we believe that we can be made whole. Why? Because he's done it for somebody else. So let me give you some more stories here. There was a Shunammite woman who asked for a child from the man of God, Elisha. Her and her husband, again, were old. They were older in age. And so 2 Kings chapter 4, starting at verse number 22, it says, and she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again, because she has asked for a son. Elisha has prayed, the son has come, but now something has happened to the son. The son now has died. And so now if we drop down to verse number 31, look at what happens here. I want to take my time and I want to teach this very carefully. Verse 31 says, and Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing, whether he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awake. Now, what has happened here, when you go back and read it, is that the woman has sent people to the man of God because her son has died. Now, what Elijah has done here is given his staff to his servant Gehazi and says, I want you to lay my staff upon the child, believing that when my staff touches the child will be raised from the dead. Unprecedented. He was trying something new. He was trying something that we haven't read before, that we haven't seen before. The issue here is that when he did it, it did not work. All right? He laid the staff on the child, but the Bible says there was no voice. There's no hearing. They went in to meet him and told him, hey, the child didn't wake up. Have you ever prayed to God and said, Lord, I need you to do this. And Lord, can you do this? And you stepped out by faith, believing that it was going to happen, but it didn't happen. But it does not mean God has forsaken you and God does not love you and God is not a prayer answerer. So the servant came back to Elijah and said, hey, man, you got me in here looking crazy. You got me in here laying this staff on this boy and all the household is expecting this child to get up because we supposed to be the men of God. But nothing happened. So he had to go back to Elijah and say, hey, man, your stick don't work. You sure this your stick? Did you change out sticks? Did you change out staffs? I mean, this one ain't anointed like we thought it was. Huh? Y'all ain't gonna preach with me this morning. Oh yeah. But look what happens. Let's keep reading now. Let's keep reading. So now verse number 32. And when Elijah was coming to the house, he didn't give up. Elijah came into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in, therefore, shut the door upon them twain, upon them two, and prayed unto the Lord. And it says, and he went up and laid upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself. So he did it again. He repeated the process. The Bible says that the child sneezed 7 times and the child opened up his eyes. Now, this seems unprecedented, doesn't it? He was repeating what he knew and saw someone else do. Can you show me that in the Bible? Yes, I can. So if you go to 1 Kings chapter number 17, because you have to remember Elisha, his mentor was Elijah. And Elijah had a similar situation. Remember, Elijah went to a widow woman. And when he went to this widow woman, the widow woman was about to die. And her son was about to die because there was a famine in the land. Okay, I will, sister, I will. And so he went to this woman and said, look, if you just cook me first, make me first a cake, then I want you to prepare it for yourself afterwards. Now, there's a principle here. I'm not going to take a lot of time here. The principle is to make sure that your man of God is taken care of. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's the principle. I know sometimes you need an evangelist to come here and say those type of things and allow me to sit on the front row, but it's still Bible. The principle is that you take care of your man of God. He said, no, you take care of me first. And even though there's a famine in the land, if you take care of me, God will supply all that you need. So the woman did that and God honored that. Amen. But then the Bible lets us know that her son died. Her son died. So now when you read here, okay, go to verse number 19. Verse number 19 in 1 Kings chapter number 17. And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode. And he laid him upon his bed and he carried unto the Lord. Excuse me. He cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And look what he did. And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times. and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he was revived. So Elisha repeated the pattern of Elijah. So Elijah set the stage of doing something unprecedented. But then Elijah said, well, I'm going to try something unprecedented, but it didn't work. But he didn't give up. He says, well, let me go back to what I saw and heard somebody else do, then I'm going to try that. So there's a principle here, is that when you try something by faith that you've never seen done before, don't think God does not love you. You just need to go back and say, what did I see my forefathers do? What did I see my parents do? What did I see other people do in the church? How did I see Mother Whitaker do it? How did I see Brother Whitaker do it? How did I see those in the church that I've seen here in a long time do it? Well, let me do it the way they did it. Because if God honored their prayer, maybe he'll honor my prayer. Woo. Amen. So we see examples here where people did things that were unprecedented, and then there were others that followed in that, and then God honored what they seen other people do. And then we see an example where someone tried to do something unprecedented, but God did not honor it, but he didn't stop. He just went back and did what he seen someone else do. But we cannot limit God based on precedence. Don't limit God to precedence. Can I talk to you for a moment here? Don't limit God to precedence. I commend Elisha. He tried something new. Oh, hallelujah. I commend him. He tried something that he's never heard or seen before. And even though God didn't honor it, he didn't give up. He didn't say to himself, well, maybe I'm not the man of God that I thought I was. Maybe I'm not anointed. Maybe God doesn't love me like I thought I did. And no, he just went back to what he knew. It's okay to try something new every once in a while, but when all else fails, just go back to what you've been told and what you've been taught. Go back to what you know to do. Because now when you fast forward to the New Testament and you go to the book of Acts, well, we see something that is unprecedented. Because we find here in the book of Acts chapter number 5, it says here in verse number 12, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Verse number 14, it says, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Insomuch, this one happens here, that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Now this was unprecedented. This was something that was never written about. We don't see any examples of it in the prophets. We don't see anything that was done before time that would give people the reason to think that I can't make it to Peter, but if I can just lay in the shadow of Peter, and as his shadow comes by, I would be healed. Now, where is that at in the Old Testament? It is nowhere. You won't find it. But they were willing to take a chance and say, I may not be able to get to the man of God, but I believe if the shadow of him, by faith, if I just lay here and allow his shadow to pass by, I will be made whole. Now, this is important. Important here, because this teaches us that we cannot allow precedents to limit us. Because if they would have said, well, we don't read about that in the Old Testament, no one has never done that before, so therefore it would be stupid for me to be able to go out here and lay out in the shadow hoping that it would heal me. But the important thing is that we must understand is that we cannot always look at what has happened before and think that's just going to be the way it's going to happen in the future. You and I have to be willing to take a chance. We call it faith. We have to be willing to say, Lord, I've never seen nobody do it. I've never heard of it before, but I believe if you said it, I'm going to do it. I don't care how crazy it looks. I don't care how dumb it sounds. Just imagine Jesus saying, come on, Peter, get out the boat. And Peter said, well, I've never heard of this before, but I'm gonna go ahead and step out by faith. Because you've got to understand, it's not about precedence. We serve an unprecedented God, and he's able to do all things at any time. Somebody in here, clap your hands unto the Lord. Shout Jesus. So don't allow precedence to become a limitation for your miracle. Don't allow precedence to become a limitation for your miracle. I'm gonna preach to myself here just for a moment, because we need to understand that if God has a miracle for you and I, that if God is doing something great for you, if God is taking you to another level, if God is trying to get you to walk through a different door, if God is trying to open up an opportunity for your entrepreneurship, if God is trying to open up a door for you to go to the next level in your job, in your business, or in your home. Is God is trying to get you prepared for the woman or man that's out there. You don't know where they're coming from, but God is preparing you so that you can be ready for when God meets you. Oh my God, when God sets you up with the right individual. God is getting ready to take many of you to places that you never thought you would be before. You so concerned about your right now, God is saying, I'm preparing you for your future. But somebody in here needs to understand that God is going to ask you to do something unprecedented. He may ask you to do something that people think you're crazy to do. You got friends and family telling you, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be going there. You shouldn't be trying that. But God is saying, step out by faith and believe that I'm still God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because I gave you a promise, and the promise is in the name. Somebody shout Jesus. Somebody needs to know here this morning that God is getting ready to elevate you, mind, body, and spirit. But you can't do it where you are. You've got to do something unprecedented. Somebody right now, clap your hands unto the Lord. Lift up the name that's above every name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. You know, a synonym to unprecedented is the word bizarre. See, oftentimes when God calls you to do something unprecedented, it can look bizarre to other people. Why is he doing that? Why is Brother Mike acting like that? Why is he going there? Why is he doing those things? It seems bizarre, but they don't understand. You've got a word from God. They don't understand. You've got a word from God, and God is getting ready to take you to a level of bizarre. So, if I can just bring this down here to my level. So I don't care what friends and family say. It doesn't matter what people may say. Can I make this very plain? That have influence in my life. That means their voice matters to me. That means what comes out of their mouth can influence my right or my left. That means what they say to me can determine whether I get out the boat or not. But I cannot allow influence to stop me from the word of God, because God is doing something different with me. God, my God. I know I'm preaching to myself, but God is doing something different with me. I don't belong here in Lafayette, Indiana, but God put me here in Lafayette, Indiana. I don't belong where I am, but God ordained me a man of God. I don't belong where I am, but God has anointed me to lead people to greater heights. Do I have any people in here that believe that God is getting ready to elevate you to another level? I don't care what your family says. I don't care what friends say. It's about what God says. And I'm telling somebody, it's unprecedented. And God is getting ready to blow your mind. Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord. Love the name of Jesus. I know we're a little crowded in here, but somebody just begin to just magnify the Lord just for a moment. Lift up the name that's above every name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. No one would have known. No one would have known that they can touch the hem of his garment until a woman did it. No one would have known that all they had to do was get on their knees and get to him if a woman wouldn't have done it. Are y'all hearing me right now? Because a woman did something unprecedented. A whole country came to Jesus and said, well, let me try that too. See, God could be preparing you to be the start of something. Amen. I know you've been wanting your healing to come in a way you want it to come. I know you've been wanting your deliverance to come in a way you want it to come. I know you've been waiting on your breakthrough to come in a way you want it to come. But I believe God is trying to shake things in your life. He's not about trying to do things the way other people have done it. Stop trying to follow somebody else's path and create your own path. You find your own way to Jesus. You find your own way to an altar. You find your own way to holiness. You, my God, you find your own shout. You get your own dance. You get your own worship. Can we take a moment and just magnify the Lord in your own way? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Stand with me, please, as I close. I want you to tell your neighbor these words. Trust releases the supernatural. All right, let's say that one more time. Turn to somebody and tell them, trust releases the supernatural. You must trust in the Lord. Trust releases the supernatural. I want to show you something here. I talked about Peter getting out the boat. I want to go there in Matthew 14. Watch what it says. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. Come do something unprecedented. And when Peter was come, when he was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. He walked on the water to go to Jesus, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, said unto him, O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? I've come to ask you a question. When did Peter doubt? Now think about that. He did not doubt for one second to step out of a boat into the water. He didn't doubt for one second that when he stepped out of that boat, he would begin to walk. It's never been done before. He didn't doubt that. When Jesus said, come, he stepped right out of that boat and just knew he was just going to start walking on top of the water. No doubt. No doubt. Now I want you to just think about that. God said, come, he moved. But when he saw the wind, The Bible says it was boisterous. That's when he began to sink. See, I want to help someone here right now, because many of you have stepped out by faith in an area in your life and you're walking to Jesus. You haven't arrived where you're trying to get to, but the wind is starting to blow. Hallelujah. The wind is starting to blow. Things are starting to happen, and the wind is boisterous. And now the key is that we don't have the loss of faith that Peter had when he lost track of where Jesus was. We must continue to keep our eyes on Jesus and say, Lord, if you told me to come, that means you're going to help me every step of the way. God will never challenge you to get out and do something unprecedented, to leave you alone just halfway through the journey. Because if God has called you to a place, oh my God, if God has called you to a place, a destination, you better believe he's going to be right there with you every step of the way. Am I talking to anybody in this house right now? If you got a word from God and you believe it's unprecedented, you don't know what to do, how to do it, but you know it's going to take a miracle from God, I want you to step out by faith. I want you to come down to this altar. This is where we bring our requests known unto him, and we say, Lord, I still believe. Lord, I still know that you're able. Lord, I still know that you're right here with me. Come on, Star City Church. Don't worry, don't hesitate, but I want you to move by faith and come up here and lift your hands, lift your heart in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, let's worship the Lord together.